Hey CEO, welcome to day one of the CEO's Declutter Should Do's workshop series. You are in luck, because whether you joined us live today or you're now catching the replay, this is for you if you are wanting to invest your time where it matters, to go from random busyness to faithful fruitfulness in your life and business, and stop wasting it chasing your should-do list. And contrary to popular belief, pun intended, it doesn't start with what you're doing as a CEO, but with what you're believing. Speaking of which, what thought comes to mind when you hear that title CEO applied to you? Is it something like, I'm completely confident that I am the best CEO for this business and have everything I need to be wildly successful? Or is it more like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have what it takes. I'm not getting anywhere. Why would someone listen to me? Others are more successful than I am. I'm just wasting time and money. I'll never get everything done I should. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I should go get a real job. Well, if you're like most busy Christian women, juggling all the should-dos in midlife and business, it's probably more like the latter, right? Essentially, those are all versions of I am not enough. And if that's you too, I just want you to know, it's not all your fault. Because there are a lot of voices out there telling us, if we don't check off all these should-dos, then that will be true. The world, the enemy, even well-meaning family and friends, and ourselves. But that's not what God says. And His voice of truth is the one that matters. So together, let's push pause on the noise. Turn off all those other voices, aka distractions. Grab your workbook at redeemhertime.com/declutter, and let's dive into how CEOs, I've got a new definition for you of what that means, declutter should do's for good. So that way, you can put your time where it matters and never again say, I am not enough. Are you ready to show up as the CEO that you're called to be? Good. Because day one is all about building confidence in who you are as a CEO. So together, I want to invite you to dive into day one with me, and then come join the conversation inside the Redeem Her Time community, where committed CEOs implement by taking action on what they learn. Friend, I pray this blesses, challenges, and moves you to action. Did you know busy is not just a disordered calendar or to-do list? It's a disordered heart. And a well-ordered life flows from a well-ordered heart that's focused on Him. Welcome to the Redeem Her Time podcast, the go-to place for busy Christian women juggling all the things in midlife and business. From launching kids to aging parents, caring for your needs to serving your clients, investing in relationships to serving in your community. Oh, and keeping up with the laundry, the dishes, and the dirty floors. Honestly, it's a lot to balance. No wonder you feel like you never have enough time. All the time management gurus out there will tell you you just need to get more organized. And chances are you've tried all the things, the planners, the programs, the all-start Monday plans, but they never worked, at least not for very long. That's because those don't get to the heart of your busyness. Here, you'll learn how to build a with God life and business and go from busyness to fruitfulness in this season. And it starts in your heart, not in your calendar. Hey, I'm Lissa, Christian time management expert, priorities protector, and recovering should-do list girl. I've been leading, teaching, and coaching Christian women for over 25 years, and I've been right where you are, controlled by all the shuns, expectations, obligations, and distractions. But then, God showed me how to redeem my time with faith at the center, to let who I am and whose I am guide how I use my time. I'm here to share with you how to use His truth along with time management tools to discover you really do have all the time you need for what you're called to. You just need someone to show you the way. Open up your heart and calendar, because I'm going to show you how to redeem your time and stop believing there's never enough. Are you ready? So welcome to day one of the CEO's Declutter Should Do workshop series. As you are coming in, I want you to drop your name, the name of your business, and what you do in the chat, because you never know
right? Who you might meet when you're in a room like this with other amazing, like-minded women who are called to business and who are committed to what it takes to grow. So speaking of which, I just want to say, like, congratulations. I know that you are busy, right? Doing all the things right now. There are so many things you could be doing or should be doing right now, but whether you're on live or you're listening to the replay, you have decided that this time matters. And I want to applaud you for making time while the rest of the world is out there trying to find it, right? Because there are so many things that are calling for our attention at all times. And we could be going in a million directions at once, but that doesn't get us anywhere. And we're going to be talking a lot about that today and over the next couple of days together. So this week, we are going to be pausing those voices around us and the ones inside of us that keep telling us all those things we should do. And instead, we're going to listen to his voice because God is the one that's called us to this exact time in this exact place, to where you are in this season of your life, as well as where you are in this season of your business. In fact, I was thinking about this morning. I could have listened to a lot of other voices this morning while I was getting ready for today, right? Like the news report, the social media feeds, even my podcast library, which has a lot of great voices in there. But, and then there was also this voice in my head that said, you should be going live again. You should be sending all these messages. You should be, right? Like, have you ever had that where you like keep thinking of all the things you should be doing? But you know what? I sense God saying, stop. Just listen to my voice, right? Listen to what I'm saying to you. I put on some worship music. I spent time in the word. I spent time journaling. I spent time praying. I spent time just filling up and trusting that he is enough and that he will make me enough and that he is the one that's going to bring the fruit. So I pray that this week that you are going to hear his voice and not be distracted by all the voices out there telling you what you should do. And as you implement the things we learned this week, that he will bring the fruit. So before we go any further, I'm going to drop the link in the chat. Hold on, I just lost the chat. So get on. I'm going to give this a second so I can get it back. When you click on things, it starts moving around your screen. So I'm going to go ahead and drop the workbook link there. If you don't already have the workbook in front of you, I highly recommend downloading it and having a digital copy or possibly even, sorry, my screens are kind of moving around on me. So maybe, there we go. Okay. Digital copy, or if you want to print it out so you can write right on it. Either way, it works. But this is going to kind of help keep us focused as we're going. And I went ahead and muted everyone. So let me go ahead and do that. So that way, if you've got background noise, then you don't have to be worried about it. But if there are opportunities to that you want to be able to share or ask a question, I will invite you to unmute. That's the benefit of being on live. You get to be in the room and you're going to see and feel so much when you are in the room. And for those of you who are watching the replay or listening to the replay on the podcast, I'm going to encourage you, pretend like you're in the room right now, right? Pretend like this is what you've committed this next period of time to do. So let me put it so you guys can see me. So I am Lissa, and I am the CEO of Redeem Her Time Coaching, where I encourage and equip busy Christian women like you and like me that are juggling all the should do's between midlife and business to redeem their time by knowing who they are, what they're called to, and when to give it time in such a way that you go from that random busyness, the world's running around in circles, right, to faithful fruitfulness, where we're putting down our roots and we're seeing the fruit of that without going crazy. So, just like you, I'm juggling a lot of things in midlife and business. At 50, I have been walking with God about 47 years. Yes, do the math. I asked my mom if I could call Jesus on the telephone at age 3 to ask him into my heart. Of course, I didn't fully understand what all of that meant, but I was able, you know, I have grown up in my faith since then, for sure. I've been married to my husband for 28 years. And he is a military veteran as well as a law enforcement officer. So talk about not owning your time. God had definitely had some lessons that he wanted to teach me on that. And I also am, you know, have been a solopreneur, building my coaching business for the last 11 years. Oh, and you know what I forgot? Raising 3 kids, right? How many of you are moms out there and you've got kids in various ages and stages and maybe different places and things like that? Well, mine are all out of the nest across the country. living the next season of life that God has for them. And so from home base here at the Figgy Farm, I get to support them and love on them and enjoy the little bit of time that we get together. So in this season, not only am I, helping support those kids and working all these other things, I'm supporting aging parents, which many of you may be in that season as well, managing a home, serving as a women's ministry leader and mentor. So yes, a lot of things on my plate. And here's the thing. I still want to make time for date night. I still want to make time to connect with my kids and have deep conversations with friends and care for my aging body, which includes moving it and feeding it well and sleeping and resting it, right? I want to make time for traveling to explore and to serve and to see my kids in the different parts of the country they're in. I want to be doing things that I enjoy. But then sometimes I ask, wait, do I even know anymore? Right? We're in the season of life where it's like, what? Who asked me what I like to do? And all of that on top of growing a successful business, which for me used to mean that I was, hang on just a second, man. Great. Making sure that you're seeing me first. There we go. Okay. Which meant that I was in all the meetings. I was attending all the trainings. I was working all the time, saying yes to all the things. And I had a lot of should-dos on my list. Anyone resonate with that? Like with so many people that are out there, right, that you could and should be serving and things you could and should be doing, you ever feel like there's never enough time or view to get to all those should-dos? If so, drop me in the chat so I know that I am not alone, because there are a lot of things that all these voices around us are telling us you should do or indirectly saying you should do without maybe saying it out loud. So I want you right now to think about something that you think you should do or do more in your business. In just a minute, I'm going to have you drop it in the chat. But first, I want to make sure I make this really clear. I'm not asking for a could do. That's something that someone else could step in and do just as well. I'm not asking about a will do. That's something that you already decided matters and you are going to give it time. I'm not talking about a get to. Those are the things that, like, when we do them, we experience life and growth. And so, like, we can't wait for that. That should do is that thing that you think you should do or do more of. But most of the time, it leaves you feeling guilty or burdened because you either never find the time for it or it takes up too much of your time. Okay. So, a should do is not that thing that you've already committed to and you know you're called to. It's just one more thing that's probably on your plate or on your list somewhere that you keep meaning to get around to, right? But you've got maybe this guilt or burden around it. So drop a should do in the chat. I'd be curious as to what kinds of should do's you're carrying around right now. It could be that course that you need to take, that you should take. It could be that website that you should be updating. It could be that meeting that you should be going to, that group that you should join, that profile you should keep up with, right? Anyone feel like there are bazillion profiles and places to be keeping up with, right? Okay. Planning ahead, networking, sending messages on Messenger, cleaning up the back end of our business, marketing more, organizing my closets. Yes, because it could be so distracting to even what we do on our business, even if those closets are doors are closed. I love that. Social media posts, making videos, right? There's so many things. They could be related to your life. They could be related to your business. They end up really distracting us. And let's be honest, we don't live in a vacuum. So there are a lot of people and things that are constantly wanting our time and attention and saying, you should do this. Now, chances are there is not just one should do on your list right now. Am I right? You've probably got a laundry list of things between life and business of things that you should do. And here's the problem with should do's. They eclipse everything else. Pun intended. Yesterday was the eclipse and I live in an area where we got 100% totality. So got to experience just what that was like when that happened. And, it really made me think about what our should do's do in our life, right? Because when we focus on the should do's, when I put those glasses on, right, I literally couldn't see anything in front of me, because they are so dark on purpose, right? But what happens is when we focus on all the should do's, can you still see the did do's or the will do's? The did do's are the things that you have done and the things that God has done. And chances are you and He are doing things to grow your business, right? But when we are always looking at the should do's, they tend to overshadow or eclipse or erase all the did do's, right? Because all then you can see is the gap. You see how far you are from where you think you should be, which is way over there. that you'll probably never get to versus looking at the game, how far by God's grace you've come and where he is taking you next. So that gain perspective, as you can imagine, leads to gratitude and peace and trust and rest in him. And that is going to produce continued growth. But the gap perspective, when I'm looking at all the things I should be doing and I'm feeling bad or burdened about that, that's either going to lead in one of two directions, I think. Either to too much action, trying to catch up, or to inaction, trying to run away. So let me describe both of those. And then I want you to identify. So as I listen, I want you to think about which of these extremes do you tend to go more towards? Okay. So number one, and chances are if you're here to invest in your business, you might be like this one. And this was me, is running on the hamster wheel. Anyone doing that? Like you see all these should do's and you start running in circles. You start burning the candle at both ends, trying to get all those should do's checked off, multitasking to the max, rushing through your quiet time, always in front of a computer or phone screen, saying yes to any opportunity because you don't want to miss out on something, going to bed too late because you're up working, never fully present because your mind is always on the next event or task or what else you should be doing. Ask me how I know. This was me, right? And I was just going in circles. But in my case, it caught up with me in a couple of ways. One, it felt like time was always flying by and I was missing out. I was busy. And when we're busy, we are often disconnected, right? I was disconnected with God. I was disconnected with the people that I around me that I said mattered most, right? But I wasn't really connecting with them. And I was disconnected with myself. And when I was always busy, I wasn't never not doing. Here's the thing. I never caught up. I still felt behind. Anyone else resonate with that? And then what I started noticing is I constantly had this like knot in my stomach, and then it started to become a ball in my throat. And it was there long enough that I started realizing it and thought, ah, maybe I should do something about this. And so I tried slower eating, chewing more. Like, am I not chewing my food right? Went to a doctor. He had me try acid reflux medication, even though I told him I did not have acid reflux. He did a bunch of scopes and things like that. And guess what? He sat me down one day in his office and he said, Lissa, there is no reason that you feel like you have a ball in your throat or felt like food was stuck in my throat at all times, right? And he looked me in the eye and he said, you have globus hystericus. Now, for those of you who don't know the Latin, globus means ball. Hystericus means crazy. Did you know that's where they get the word hysterectomy? Because we feel like we're crazy in this midlife season, right? And our cycle's going crazy and things like that. So really, this doctor was telling me that it was all in my head. There was not a physical reason why I was having this sensation of there always being a ball in my throat and like I hadn't fully swallowed, right? But really, it was all in my heart because my heart was busy and distracted by all my should do's. So that was me. I was the hamster wheel girl, going, going, going. And then eventually, right, the body keeps the score and it started really showing up. But maybe when you look at all those should do's, you're on the other end of the spectrum. And I call that the run to Häagen-Dazs, right? Like maybe you're the person who, when you look at that list, you're like, forget it. Head to the freezer, head to the couch and binge whatever feels good in the moment. Ice cream and Netflix, right? All the while putting off what is on that should do list for when you feel like it. Or don't feel overwhelmed by it all, which never actually happens until you don't have a choice about something. And then you go and overdrive and overwhelm to get it done. And you're back on the hamster wheel. The first option, you're just going round in circles. The second one, you're just getting more round, right? Pun intended. Both of them are just spinning you and not really getting you anywhere, right? We're wasting time, we're wasting energy, we're wasting resources, just leading to more busyness or laziness and less fruitfulness. So I would like to hear, and you maybe feel like I'm somewhere in the middle, Lisa, but I want you to pick one end or the other just for time's sake today. Okay. Which direction do you tend to go in when you have a should-do list staring at you? Do you go to hamster wheel? Doing, 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 or you go Häagen-Dazs, forget this. I'm gonna go do something that feels better in the moment. Okay, drop that in the chat. I'd love to kind of see like how we lay out here. If we have more hamster wheels or we have more Häagen-Dazs people. Hamster wheel usually. Yep, sometimes it depends on what it is. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of hamster wheels. Okay, but the last 6 months, okay, historically hamster wheel, but the last 6 months, ice cream and Netflix sounded really good. Yeah. And you're right, sometimes it depends on the day. It depends on what's been going on that day or the day before and how you feel, right? And which one you go to, right? But here's the thing: neither one of them fix the problem, right? That should-do list doesn't change. Because none of those things don't all get done and they just keep getting added to. Because here's the thing. The problem with your to-do list is not just what is on it. It's how much time it's taking or how much time it's taking, but why it's there in the first place. And it really comes down to who are you listening to? All those voices we talked about at the beginning, right? All those well-meaning people that keep adding to your to-do list, whether it's your spouse, your kids, your parents, maybe even extended family and friends and neighbors, or even in your business, mentors and coaches and teammates or peers or experts or gurus. But what about the voice inside of you? What about the expectations that you are putting on yourself and the obligations that you feel towards others? Here's what I want to tell you with some tough love. You ready for this? You control more than you think of what's on your list. You do. Let me say that again. You control more of what's on your list than you think, because either you added it or you allowed someone else to. Right? Yeah. Sometimes we feel like this is just life happening to me. And yes, there may be like a small percentage of things that happen to us that we literally have no control over, but most of it, we have some kind of a choice there. So as you look at your to-do list this week, I want you to be thinking about who said you should do all those things? Was it the world around you? The voice inside of you, or was it the God who called you to it? It's probably all of these things around here more than it is here, right? And how does that leave us feeling? When we're listening to all those should-do voices, does anyone feel restful and lighthearted? Probably not, right? We feel weary and heavy burdened. But there's good news because we can be the former rather than the latter, right? In Matthew 28, 30, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened." All of us carrying all these should-dos, right? Because they had a lot of should-dos that were put on them. All these people were telling them, this is what you have to do to earn salvation, right? This is what we have to do to be right with God or to please these people or to have a successful business. He's like, "Come to me," right? Bring all of those things with you and I will give you rest. Learn my way of carrying life. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle in heart. And with me, you will find rest for your souls. So what if, not just this week, but moving forward, we turn off all those other voices and we listen to his voice? Does rest for your body and soul sound like a better way to do life and business with God? I'm going to tell you, I've tried the other way and it's really exhausting and it's so much better on the other side. So let's take a minute and pause and pray. And lay down all these should-dos that we're bringing in with us, and then we will dive into what we can start doing about it. Lord, we thank you that you call us to yourself. Thank you that you see us when we are burdened and heavy laden. Thank you that you call us to come to you and to listen to your voice and to stop listening to all the other voices around us. And so I pray for every woman who's listening to this, whether she's on live or whether she's listening to a replay at whatever time down the road from today, that you will quiet our spirits, that we will hear your voice, and that we will have the faith to take action with you. So I thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and on our businesses over these next few days together. And we give you all the glory for the fruit that it will produce. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so before we go any further, I just want you to know you are in the right place if you are that person who's constantly on the hamster wheel or tempted, maybe you don't, but maybe you're tempted to run to the Häagen-Dazs, right? Because you think like, oh my goodness, how do I respond to all these things that are always on my never-ending should-do list? You're in the right place if you're ready to slow down the pace of life and business and focus your time on what's really necessary to get that fruitfulness going, right? Instead of struggling to stay on task because you're so easily distracted and easily interrupted by all the voices and all the things that are coming at you. You're in the right place too if you finally are like, enough of this second guessing, people pleasing, box checking, multitasking. Who here says yes to too much and feels guilty if you don't take it on? Or when you do, and then you can't follow through, then you feel bad, right? Like we take on all of these should-dos. And you're in the right place if you wish there was a way of building business that is life-giving and not sucking the life out of you because you're not always thinking about all the things you should do and only half present to what's in front of you. So if that's you, then here's what I know about you. You're not just wanting a life and a business that takes up space, takes up time, energy, and resources, right? You want one that's purposeful and profitable, right? And is in alignment with the purpose that God has for you, so that you are glorifying Him in all that you do. And that's going to result in fruit. And fruit that lasts beyond you. So who is here for some fruit? I want you to say fruit in the chat. That way I know you're still with me and we're tracking as we go. So this week, we're not going to listen to the world's gurus. They are going to tell you, take that to-do list and get more organized. They're going to say, get more baskets to carry it all, color code them, label them, work on your grips. You don't drop any, get stronger, get creative at how you balance, right? And by the way, here's one more thing to add to the juggling act. It's really hard to grow when you're burdened and carrying all these should-dos all the time, right? So often then we're in reaction mode because either a new one came at us or we're trying to like manage all the ones we already have. And then we're doing random things at random times for random reasons, just so that we don't drop the balls or ourselves drop on the ground. Scale 1 to 10, how well does random work for you? For me, it was like a negative 3, right? It was not going anywhere fast. And yet I just kept doing that because things kept coming at me and I kept bringing them in and not saying no to it. But instead, we're going to listen to what God says. Guess what? He says, stop everything you're doing. Turn off the noise, drop the extra balls, pick up what I've called you to. And guess, here's the best news. You don't have to do this on your own, but you do it with him. You hang out with me, you're going to hear the term with God a lot because he has invited us into this relationship together, where now it's no longer just what I'm doing, but what we're doing together. And that's what he meant when he said to pick up his yoke and like literally be yoked together to shoulder life with him. And doesn't that sound lighter and easier and better? So that's what we're here for, and that's what we're gonna be working towards. So CEOs, we'll be talking about what that means here in just a minute, are fully present, right? We have an open heart and mind saying, what does God want to say to me? How does this apply to me and my business? CEOs are honest. We admit we don't know everything. If we did, we would already be successful and not stressed over the results of the work we do, right? But if we do already know this, am I really doing it consistently? I want you to ask yourself that question this week. And CEOs are definitely going to make sure that they're taking notes because there's always room to grow. So if you haven't already, make sure that you grab your workbook. Let me drop the link in here before. But again, it's redeemhertime.com/declutter-workbook. Hold on, I don't think it's sent. There we go. Because this is going to help guide us through what it is that we're going to be going through. And CEOs always raise their hand. I'll give you an opportunity at the end to be able to ask some questions. And then inside the community afterwards is a great place to do that. And we're willing to do the work, right? Because most people who listen to this are not going to take the next step. It's going to be great ideas or great theories or like, wow, yep, I should do that. It's going to be one more should do as opposed to something that they are actually committed to doing. So I know you're not most people if you're here. If you're listening, and if you're have this in front of you. So speaking of doing the work, right? I thought the solution was that I should always be doing, right? When I had so many should-dos in my list, then I just need to do more and get more organized and be more efficient. But it really didn't work or last long because what I found was the solution was not in the doing, it was in the being. Right. So when God got my attention, I showed you one of those ways that he did that, right? Through my hystericus globus. He like started saying, Lissa, slow down. Let me fill you up and let me show you where to pour out instead of you like pouring into all these random cups, hoping eventually you'll pour into enough to see something happen, right? He said, stop doing all the things that you or others think you should do and just do what it is that I've called you to. And when I started finally listening, right, I learned to invest my time in who and what matters, both in my life and my business. And I learned that doing less truly was more in every area. Right. And I started seeing that success. And so I am here to help any other doers out there, any other doers out there, drop do in the chat if you are a doer, because your tendency is to always do more, right? And so we're going to focus on how do we not do more, but how do we actually be more of who it is that he has called us to do? And we're going to combine some biblical truth and tough love with some time management and CEO tools that are going to help you to redeem your time. So there might be times it's going to feel a little uncomfortable. Because I'm not like most coaches where we just dive right into your calendar or to-do list. We get into your heart first because that's where your busyness problem really is. It's not really what you know because you probably know a lot of things that you should be doing or could be doing. It's not even necessarily what you're doing right now, but it starts with what's going on in here. So if you haven't already opened up to day one of your workbook, I try to really keep this kind of generic so that way you can take notes the way it best suits you and you're not stressed out about I should fill in every blank, right? But every day we're going to cover a couple of key things. We'll have a problem. We'll have a question. We'll have an untrue belief. We'll have a CEO tool in the next page, a CEO definition, and then a place for CEO action and application. So you take notes in here as you see fit, and hopefully you've got backs of pages and things like that, or a notebook nearby if you want to do that. So our problem today is that there is too much on our should-do list, right? Who here has too much on their should-do list? And myself included, I have to keep checking in on this, right? Because it tends to keep piling up and piling up again. But like I said, we are not going to start where you'd expect, because most experts would say, okay, let's look at your should-do list. Let's start organizing it. Let's start crossing things off. Let's start putting the priorities at the top. Let's start, putting things into categories and assigning them to time blocks and all of that. And guess what? We will get there this week. But first, we want to take a deeper look at why those should-dos are there. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is, right? Because we're listening to the wrong voices and we keep believing them. And then we're either on the hamster wheel or the Häagen-Dazs binge, right? And we're busy, but we're fruitless, right? So the real problem is not what's on our list, but whose voice we're listening to that then is causing that to be on our list. Okay. Now you probably heard me mention the word CEO frequently. So do you know what a CEO is? Here's today's question. Do you believe that you are the CEO that he says you are? Do you believe that you are the CEO that he says you are? Okay. Now let's start by defining it, right? Because we talked about those different voices. So the world's voice tells us a CEO is a chief executive officer, right? Like Sarah Blakely, who was the CEO of Spanx when she started it, or Steve Jobs, who we all know from Apple. They're no longer in those positions, right? But the CEO is that highest ranking person in the company. Typically, they have the biggest office, the comfiest chair. People stand at attention when they walk down the hallway, right? And yet, they're still real people, but they do really important things. They're the main vision caster. They're the main decision makers, the main action takers, probably the main delegators, right, of all their other people that are under them to get stuff done. And they spend their entire career building their resume to get to this executive position, because there aren't very many CEO positions. There are a lot more little people than there are people up at the top, right? And here's the thing. Even once you get there's not a guarantee that you get to keep it, because what they may not like you, or you may not be producing results, and then you're out pounding the pavement. So it can be a very stressful position. And if you look at CEOs, and they've interviewed a lot of them, it demands so much time, energy, and resources that often costs them their life. Right? They have to give up so many things in order to be a successful CEO. That's not the definition we're going after. Okay. So erase that as being what we're talking about. Okay. Here's our definition. A CEO, and you'll often see me spell it with periods after it. And if I forgot to put the periods, I still mean the periods, is a Christ-empowered operator of a with God business. So you can write that definition at the top of the second page. A definition of a CEO is a Christ-empowered operator of a with God business. Which means, right, I'm the one who's operating, but it's not just all in my own power. It's not just all in me, right? And I'm doing this with him. And that is what makes all the difference. So yes, we are still the main vision caster, decision maker, action taker, but not because we earned that spot, not because we took all the trainings, we have all the certificates on the wall, we have all the top awards, we have everyone's approval or even the best resume, but because we are called by him, not based on our resume, but on his. And here's what I love. I was thinking about this the other day. He equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. Right? And that's a really good thing that it goes in that order, because then it's about who we are in him, not what it is that we are doing. And here's the other thing you'll hear me talking about as well is, yes, we are the CEO, but we are, like I said, not on our own. So God is our chairman of the board. So if you know anything about how a big corporation works, yes, there's a CEO in that prime spot. But there's a board of directors with a chairman of the board, and they are the ones who really are the movers and shakers, because nothing happens apart from their thumbs up, right? Apart from their stamp of approval. And so God is our chairman of the board, is the one who's giving guidance. He's the one who's giving the approval. He's the one who's keeping us aligned with the personal and kingdom mission that he's given us. And that's what we call the with God business model. And inside of my program, I talk a lot about how we do this with God and how that looks different. But the easiest way to describe it is to take you to John 15, where it says, when you abide in me, right, and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Because what? Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? So that's good news, because he is capable of way bigger things than we are. So Okay, so when I call you a CEO, that is not because you've earned it or you have, been in business, the right number of years or had the right experience or things like that up until now. It is because he's called you to this, right? And you are the one that is moving forward and taking action on behalf of that business. Okay, so here's my question for you. As a CEO, what do you think is your number one priority each day? Okay, I want you to drop in the chat what you think your number one priority as a CEO each day is it? Could be something, is it setting goals? Is it tracking numbers? Is it managing a team if you have a team, creating content, networking, being on, social media presence, having those conversations, doing sales calls, something else? Drop in the chat what you think those are, right? And here's how we find out what our true priorities really are. We can say something. So whatever you drop in the chat, right? I want you then to think about if I were to look at your calendar right now, or your to-do list, or your screen time, is that the task that, what are the tasks that you are giving time to, right? Because what happens most and first is often what matters most and first. We just don't often notice it. And sometimes we're giving a lot of our time away to less important things. And those less important things, are they working more for you or are they just making you work more? Oftentimes they make us work more, right? Yes. Okay. So a lot of you have been maybe paying attention. I love this, right? That you are knowing that it's not just about the things that you're doing in your business, right? But spending that time with your chairman of the board. And so from this point forward, this is your number one CEO task, even if you don't think you have time for it. And that is building your belief as a CEO with God as your chairman of the board. Sure, you can do a lot of those other things on your own, right? But with a lack of belief, you're not going to get very far. Let me give you an example. I want you to imagine that you walked into Apple's main offices right now, right? And you walk up to that CEO office up on the whatever floor, right? With a really big desk and the really cushy chair. And everybody stopped and got quiet when you walked past down the hall, right? But you're believing that you're the receptionist. How would then you respond to all those should-dos that walk in the door or pop in your inbox? You'd be taking memos, you'd be adding to the pile, you'd be constantly interrupted, you'd be trying to please everyone. Would you get much CEO work done if you believed that you were the receptionist? Now, there's nothing against the receptionist, right? But that's a whole different thing. So, when you sit down to your desk, whether it's a physical desk, whether it's a kitchen table, whether you're in an office or you're in your home, or maybe it's that spot on the couch is where you like to do your work, pretend that there's a nameplate there that says your name with CEO after it. Okay, I want to ask you this question because it's probably not printed right now on your door. It's probably not printed on your desk, but if it were, what thoughts would go through your head? What do you think about that? Is it something like, wow, I am completely confident that I am the best person to lead this business. I have everything I need to be wildly successful. Or is it more like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have what it takes. I'm not getting anywhere. Why would someone listen to me? Other people are way more successful than I am. I'm just wasting time and money. I never get everything done that I should. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I should go get a real job. Yeah. Can you resonate with any or all of the above? We oftentimes sit down in that CEO chair, but we're not thinking and believing that we are the CEO. Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think what you believe affects your results? Drop that in the chat. Whether you're realizing or taking those thoughts captive or not, what is it? 11, right? Off the charts. Yes, right? Yeah. It makes all the difference, right? And all of those beliefs and probably whatever came up in your mind, and this is going to tie into your homework when we get to the CEO implementation in a few minutes, they're all related to this number one untrue belief. Are you ready for this? I am not enough. Who here has ever thought, you can raise your hand literally or just in your head, who's ever thought when it comes to you doing your business and being successful in it, I am not enough or some version of it? I think we all have, and we do all the time, right? And the reality is we imposter syndrome, that's another way of saying it. Yes, right? I love that, right? We are thinking these things on repeat. And what happens when we think these things on repeat? We start believing them, right? We're always believing something. So even if we're not paying attention to what we're believing, there is something going around in here, right, that is now going to impact everything else. But we can't always see it, which is really actually, to be honest, why I always skipped the mindset stuff when I worked with other coaches. I just wanted to get to the strategy Because I figured the answer to that long list of things I should do was to figure out how to do them more efficiently and effectively and be in more places at the same time and like multiply myself, right? And if I did enough of the right things, then I would finally, get to the right place that I wanted to be in my business. And I was like, I don't got time for the mindset stuff, right? But to be honest, what they taught didn't actually work because it really didn't change the inside. I was told by a lot of different people, just write this like phrase, a whole page every day for 30 days, right? Until you believe it. Guess what? After 30 days, I didn't change what I believed about myself. I just had wasted a lot of paper and ink and had a, calluses on my hand, but I really didn't change my heart. So don't worry, I'm not going to take you back to elementary school and make you write this sentence 100 times, right? I am a successful CEO, right? But I am going to give you a tool that I hope and pray and know is going to really start shifting things for you. And some of you have already been using it because you've already been in my world. And so you can attest to what this has done for you. And for some of you, this is going to be brand new. And it's in your workbook there. And it's called the Steer Belief Map. Because here's what I found. It was really hard for me to identify those beliefs I had and to do something about them when I couldn't see them. So I was like, okay, there needs to be a way to get this down on paper so that I can like visibly see it and see the effect they have. And the reason that I use the acronym STEER, STEER, is because our beliefs steer our results. Okay. And so what we want to look at is how are the things I'm believing steering what it is that I'm experiencing? What are the results that I'm having? Okay. And you're going to visibly be able to see this. And then we're going to follow Romans 12 too, which says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't think like everybody else does, right? Because of all the voices you're hearing and all the should do's that are coming at you from everywhere, but be transformed by renewing your mind so that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Who wants to discern God's will for your life and business, right? Instead of being confused and feeling like you're going in circles all the time, listening to all these other voices of things you should do. So grab your workbook or grab some paper. And if you are just using a piece of paper, you can do this really simple. In fact, this is so simple that you could stop anywhere at any time. You could grab the notes app on your phone. You could grab a napkin at a coffee shop. You could grab the back of your church bulletin and just write the letters STEER, STEER, vertically. Okay. And we're going to walk through one together today. And in your implementation, I'm going to challenge you to do this in regards to the untrue belief that you are going to identify in just a few minutes. Okay, so S is for our situation. And our situation is what's going on, right? But here's the thing, it's always neutral. Okay, your situation is always neutral. So for example, and you can fill this in as we go here, I run a business. Okay, that's our situation. I run a business, right? I'm the CEO of a business, right? However you want to say that. Okay, T is for our thought. What is that thought that maybe you just identified it a minute ago? Right? Or maybe you're going to think of it now that is on repeat that you are believing. It may be something like, I'm not enough to be a successful CEO. I don't know enough. I don't have enough. I don't do enough, whatever it is. Right? So write down what that thought is that's coming up for you. And if you have that one, you can use mine. I'm not enough to be a successful CEO. Or if you have one of your own, and that's going to actually put you ahead in when we get to our assignment here in just a minute. The first E is your emotion. So when you are thinking that on repeat, you're believing that's true about your situation, how are you feeling? Right? What emotions are coming up? For me, when I'm saying I'm not enough to be a successful CEO, I feel doubt. I feel indecision. I feel fear. I feel comparison, right? Like all these things, like who am I? Right? So write down one, two, three things that you are feeling. Usually they're not feel-good feelings, are they? Usually there are things that like, yeah, this makes me want to Häagen-Dazs, right? This makes me want to go binge Netflix and ice cream because I don't like how this feels. The second E is execution. When you are feeling that and thinking that about that situation, what are you doing or not doing? What action are you taking or not taking? For me, I'm second guessing. I'm comparing. I'm holding back. I'm waiting till it's perfect. I'm distracting myself with other things that feel easier to check the boxes on. Sometimes even giving up. What is it that you do or don't do when you are feeling and thinking those things about your situation? And then you can probably expect R is the results, right? What outcome do you experience? Guess what? When I am doing or not doing those things, feeling that, believing that, I don't show up as the CEO and I don't experience success. And here's what you can do. You can take your pencil and your pen. I like to use pencil because so many things change in life, right? So I'm a pencil girl. You could draw an arrow from R up to T because your results are always going to reflect the thoughts that you are believing. Right? When I was believing I'm not enough to be a successful CEO, what were my results? I don't show up as a CEO and I don't experience success. Right? It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And maybe that some version of not enough is what you've been thinking, believing, and then feeling and doing or not doing because you have been conformed to what the world tells you about you or what you should be doing, right? Or what you're telling yourself. But here's where we're not going to just listen to those voices. We are going to listen to his voice. So the question is, what does God say? And here's where you're going to see in the middle. It says God's truth. Okay, so what you have to do at this point is not stay stuck in that untrue belief, right, and where it's leading you, but to dig up a verse or a principle that you can root your beliefs in. Okay, so the one that came up to me as I was working through this example is Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Right? What that tells me is that he made me uniquely for a purpose to do something that only I can do in a way that only I can do it. And that knowing that and preparing all that ahead of time, he's already created me with what it is that he's called me to do and the tools I'm gonna need to do that. Wow. That doesn't sound like I'm not enough, right? That sounds like he is enough, right? And that we're doing this together. So now, based on that truth, not the lie that we're telling ourselves or we're hearing from those voices around us. Now we're going to go through steer again. The situation is the same. I run a business. I am the CEO of a business. Okay. That has not changed. That is still the same. But what is the new thought you're going to have and be thinking on repeat and hopefully start more believing than not believing based on that truth? Maybe it's something like, he prepared this. He prepared me for this, right? He created me for this. Right? Like I'm created in him to do this. I don't have to do this by myself. Then when you start thinking that on repeat and start believing it more than you're not believing it, what are the emotions that are going to start coming up? What do you start feeling if you really start believing that? And sometimes that belief grows, right? It's not always like I jump from not believing it to fully believing it. Sometimes it's a process. That's okay. But I bet you're going to start feeling a whole lot different things than when you wrote down in the top part. For me, it was things that came up like confidence, decisiveness, faith, belief, right? Like I'm feeling like I can almost feel my body lifting up versus the way that I felt as I was saying those emotions a minute ago, right? That were weighing me down. And then our second E, what is that new execution? What are you now going to do or not do? You gonna take imperfect action? Are you gonna stay focused even when there are all these distractions and other voices around you? Are you going to keep going even when you don't always see the fruit right away? Are you going to seek wisdom? And the R, the result, what is it that you'll experience, right? When I am doing those things, believe, feeling those things and believing those things, I'm going to show up as a CEO of my With God business and I'm going to trust him. And you know what? I'm going to see the fruit because I know that when I am plugged into him, right, that's how I bear fruit. So this is how we start seeing and feeling the shift from the inside out, right? If I just go in and start changing the things I do, but I still have the wrong, untrue belief, it's not going to change the outcome because, like we showed, the results are always going to reflect what we're thinking. But when we start with what we're believing first, well, you tell me, scale of 1 to 10, how much of a difference do you think it would make if you were doing as a CEO consistently from the right belief in who he says you are as a CEO versus what the world says? Guaranteed, it's going to be on the high end of the scale, right? And then once we know who we are, right, then we can get clear on what to do or not do as a CEO. And then we can get consistent on when we do those things and when we don't, right? Which is where we're going to head. But the first place is to be looking and building this belief in who we are as a CEO of this With God business, not because it's a reflection of who we are, but of who he says we are, right? And whose we are and who he is. Because we're doing this together with him. And so I'm going to challenge you to start making this steer belief map a part of your daily CEO meeting with God, right? Especially this week. right? As we're working through the next couple of days, we will keep bringing this guy out, right? But I encourage you, even beyond the next couple of days, to make this a part of that time that you're getting focused on what's true and what you're called to before you jump into all the doing and see what difference it makes. Because I truly believe this is what's missing for so many CEOs who are frustrated and exhausted, trying to do all the things, continually, adding one more should do to the list, right? Trying to find our validation in all of this, hoping that one day it's going to pay off. But when we start working with the believing part, that's going to lead to the right doing. Otherwise, we're wasting a lot of time, energy, and resources going in circles, right? Not seeing results, looking no different from the rest of the world because we're believing all these other voices, right? And then we're just going on in circles. And here's the thing. The enemy would love to keep us discouraged and distracted, right? Because then we're not a threat to him, right? This is why we have to be so aware of our thoughts and beliefs and notice what we're believing sooner than we did before, right? And whether or not it's based on a lie or truth, whether it's based on fear or faith. Even look at Jesus' example, right? Like he didn't carry a scroll and some ink around so he could write out his steer belief map, but he knew the truth, right? It wasn't just in his head, it was in his heart, right? And he spent time talking with the Father. And so when Satan tried to tempt him in the wilderness, right? He showed him, here's your current situation, you're hungry. Oh, look at all this land in front of you, right? Like, and then he offered him his solution, all the things that he said he should do. He didn't believe the lie, right? Because he responded with God's truth. Instead said, no, man doesn't live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, and you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. So pay attention. Whose voice are you listening to? Is it the world's? Because they're probably saying you're not enough. There's so many other people doing the same thing or doing it better. You just need to do more if you want to be seen. Or maybe it's the enemy who loves to like plant those seeds of doubt and say, who do you think you are? Who, like, God really called you to this? You can't do this. You might as well give up. Like, forget this, right? Or are you listening to God's voice that says, no, you're enough. You're called and you're equipped because I made you that way and I've called you to this. So let's do this together. So this is now from forevermore. Your number one CEO task, right? To build your CEO belief before you pick up your phone, before you open your computer, before you pick up your calendar, your to-do list, or anything like that, right? Because it's going to change what it is that you say yes to and what you don't. And guess what? If you don't know how to do that, good. None of us do, right? That's why we seek him on a daily basis and we get around other like-minded people who are doing that as well. A few months ago, God brought this quote across my path. It's written on the whiteboards behind me that you can't quite see. It's off to the side. It says, tend the roots. So the truth you're believing, like what soil are you putting your roots down in, and the fruit, aka your results, will take care of themselves. Why? Because when we're in the right place, right, he brings the growth. So who would like to see some growth? Drop growth in the chat, right? Because that's what we're here about, is making the best use of our time, not just passing the time, but seeing the fruit and the fruit that's going to last out of that. So if you don't do anything else, you don't show up any other time this week, this alone will change, right? What your time looks like, what you say yes to, what is on your list of should do's or will do's, and what the outcome is, right? But it's not what we're taught by all the experts and the gurus out there that tell us, start with organizing, right? Let's just pretty things up and make it all and all of that. And so when I finally got my attention, and I started listening to his voice instead of all the other voices, even well-meaning ones, right, that were just trying to help me. That's when things started turning around. Because before I was doing things out of this like desperation. Anyone ever do something out of desperation or duty or just pure distraction because it just came across your plate? And so, like, I guess I'm supposed to do this, right? But when you are listening to him, you start doing things as a CEO with confidence and certainty and calling. Right. And so that's why this steer belief map becomes a daily practice for me, something that I'm doing on a regular basis. Because as we build our confidence in who we are as a CEO, what we're talking about today, then we'll gain clarity around what to do or not do as a CEO. That's what we're talking about tomorrow. And then we will build consistency in when we are showing up as a CEO, which is what we're talking about on day three. Right. And then watch out because your life and business is going to look so much different, but it starts with believing that we are the CEO he has called us to be and not what the world is telling us or even what we've been telling ourselves. Okay, so I'd love to hear in the chat for those of you who are on live. And if you're listening to a replay, you can pop in the community and share this. What was an aha that you had today? What was a nugget? Like, I want you to like always walk away with one little thing that is just going to stick with you. Hopefully there were a lot of different things you could choose from, but one little thing. I want you to drop that in the chat. And then as you're doing that, I want you to think about like, what would change in your life and business if you did actually listen to his voice first? Like, what would that look like if you didn't go to your phone first thing in the morning and you actually went to him instead? What would that look like if instead of filling, all your time with something that's coming in at you, you were just quiet sometimes and just let his spirit, speak and lead and prod? What would that look like? Right? It would change a lot of things. It changed a lot of things for me this morning, right? Like I know if I would have started looking at social media feeds or news or even listening to other podcasts, it was going to put a bunch of should do's in my list, right? Things that, oh yeah, I should do that. Oh wow, okay, that's a good idea. Oh, she said this. Oh wow, this is happening. Oh, look at how what she posted. Oh wow, okay. And it would have put a lot of other things in my list other than, nope, God called me to be here today and to show up and to pour into you and to do the things that I'm called to do. So, okay, I'm looking at some of these ahas for you. My number one task is to build the belief that I'm the CEO he has called me to be. Yes, that I can control more than I think I do. Oh, girl, that is powerful, right? Because so often we want to point the finger. Well, if this didn't happen, or when this happens, or if this situation was different, then I wouldn't be in this circumstance. And yet, when we really take a look at it, a lot of it we can control. That God's ways for our business and life are so much better. Yes. So let him lead. I love that. Watching the pattern of my thoughts and emotions and not letting those reinforce not good beliefs. Wow. Really, really powerful, right? Getting in touch with Yahweh, God, and regarding the decision I've made to be in business for myself. Yeah. How often? This is me for a long time. I asked for the rubber stamp from him and then I was off and running on my own. Has anybody else done that? Like, okay, God, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. See ya. Right. And I'm done. I'm running down the road. And goodness, he's back there going, hey, hello. Would you, how about we do this together? And yeah, I went in a lot of circles running around while he just patiently waited for me to come back to him and be like, okay, so yeah, this doing it my own isn't gonna work, even though I thought that I was doing this for you. I'd rather do it with you. There's a difference, right, in doing something for him versus doing something with him. So many good things. Great reminders that my unchecked subconscious thoughts steer my emotions, actions, and results. Yes. And you know what? Somebody else had commented on this one other time as well, that this works in every area of our life. So it could be, what am I believing about my health? What am I believing about my finances? What am I believing about this relationship? What am I believing about fill in the blank? Right? This can work with so many different things. I don't even think I asked for the rubber stamp. Well, you know what? Yeah, sometimes we do that too. And guess what? He's not surprised and he's not like, well, sorry, like I guess you missed that turn. He still says, okay, I'm with you. Like, and he's asking us to be aware of that presence and all of that. So that's so good. So good. Well, I hope that what you've experienced today has been just a little piece of what happens when you turn off all those other voices and you listen to his. And when you've got a system and support around you that is helping you to focus on that, because most of the other voices out there are just trying to get you to go in their direction, right? Versus getting you to look up, right? And to listen, right? And so this week, I want you to get a peek behind the curtain at what it's like to have a system and support that's just for CEOs, especially those who are faith-centered and wanting to do this with God, but are also struggling to juggle, right? All the should-dos of life and business, because there are so many things that come across our plate. But the good news is we don't have to do it alone. We could do it with him and we can do it with others. So just giving you a little sneak peek, one of the bonuses that I offer to my CEOs is 52 biblical mindset prompts. Do you know how many weeks there are in a year? 52, right? We need this weekly reminder of what truth is, right? And so we look at a scripture, we look at the biblical affirmation that comes out of it, and then we walk through the steer belief map to say, what have I been believing that's not based on this, that's based on a lie, that's based on another voice I'm hearing? And how can I let this truth redirect and steer my thoughts, my emotions, my execution, and then my results, right? And then there's also, a way that we then implement it. Okay, what does this mean for my life and for my business? How do I apply this? It's not just head knowledge. How do I actually do something with this? And then, even better, I provide an opportunity so you can get individual feedback and coaching on that as well, because I believe that the most important work as a CEO is to build your belief before anything else, right? So How confident, those of you who are here on live and those of you listening, I want you to write this number on your paper. How confident are you that if you start using a tool like this, and if you start looking at what's true and listening to the right voice, that there will be changes, things will be shifting in your heart and also in your life and in your business? Scale 1 to 10, drop that, right? How confident would you be in that? And this is what where it starts in us decluttering, because we're not trying to be anyone or anything other than what God has called us to be, right? And what He has equipped us to do. And that makes all the difference. So are you ready for a little quick piece of homework? I'm going to give you like the one thing to do, because I always want to keep it really simple, but I'm going to encourage you then to take the next step and take it a little bit further. Okay. So your CEO implementation action. Now, what here's what I'm going to tell you. A lot of people are going to hear this and be like, oh yeah, okay. And then go off and start doing some other should do's and never get back to it. You're not those people, right? You're not that. You're going to do this. So what you're going to do, it's this simple. You are going to identify one untrue belief that you either currently have or have had in the past around being the CEO of your business and your ability to be successful. Okay. All I'm asking you to do is identify it. That's the first step, right? And then there is going to be a post inside the community that is going to ask you to share that, because chances are you are not alone. Right. So this is not, there's no shame, there's no judgment, there's no story behind it. This is you taking ownership and saying, I'm identifying that this is an untrue belief. Now, I'm going to encourage you to not keep believing it and take it the next step further and to use the Sphere belief map format to transform it based on what God says is true. Right. So work out the Sphere based on what's happening right now when you're believing that, or when you were believing it, or maybe you still are a little bit. Then grab a truth or a verse, a passage, something that can relate into what God has to say in that situation. If you need help with that, come in the community and ask. I would love to help you find something that's going to help steer you in the right direction. And then do the second half. How does this steer my results when I focus on this? Right? Now, I have a surprise for you. Okay. God brought this to me yesterday, so it's not in the workbook. Okay. Because I'd already put the workbook out there, but for those of you who are committed to your growth, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get that coach me experience that I usually just give to my CEO clients, but I want you to experience this like higher level of individualized coaching that you get in the program. Okay. So I'm going to give you a link. In fact, let me copy it and paste it for those of you who are on live, and I'll say it out loud for those of you who are listening to the replay, and I will post it inside of the community as well. Okay. So it is redeemhertime.com/me. This is for coach me. I'll tell you what that is in just a minute. Redeemhertime.com/me. What this is I've created a Google form where you are going to walk through the Steer belief map. And then when you submit it to me via that Google form, then I will respond with an in-depth video coaching response. Some of you who are on here have gotten those from me before. It's not just a quick 30-second thing. Like, I take time to prayerfully help you process through what it is that you're believing and what the outcome of that is and how to redirect that, because I truly believe this is the most important work that you need to do as a CEO. Then you can pick up other CEO tools that I give you, right? That will help you to organize your to-do list, that will help you to map out your time blocks, that will help you to focus on the different stages of your business and the priorities in your life and things like that. Okay. So how's that for support? Usually it's only for my clients, but I want you, if you are a part of this workshop, to get to experience this and see how impactful this step is. So redeemhertime.com/me. And like I said, I will make sure that gets inside the community as well. So be the CEO that takes action right away, right? Because when you do that, it's not just in one ear and out the other. How many things are going to come in your ear as soon as you hit stop on this today, right? A bazillion other things. And guess where your brain is going to be? In a bazillion other places, right? So I'm going to encourage you, either take a few minutes right now while it's top of mind and it's fresh, or block off the time for when you're going to be able to give it a few minutes of time and attention. Identify that one untrue belief, right? And then I'm going to encourage you to go through that steer belief process. And for those of you who want coaching feedback on it, submit it via the coach me form as my extra special surprise bonus for you. And that way you're really going to start seeing the shift. And then tomorrow when we come back and we start talking about, okay, now that I know who I am as a CEO, what do I do or not do? Permission to not do it all. Permission to say no, right? You don't have to say yes to everything that someone tries to put on your plate or that you get told should be on your plate. Wow. Now you're going to have some space. You're going to have some, brain bandwidth. You're going to have emotional space. You're actually going to have time space to focus on the things that are actually going to bring the growth instead of just always doing and being on that hamster wheel. But that poor hamster never gets anywhere, right? They don't get anywhere. So make sure you come back tomorrow in order to be part of that. Before we go, though, I want to make sure that you guys saw one of the bonuses that you get access to as a part. Well, there are two bonuses. So maybe highlight both of them to make sure you don't miss them. Okay. Two CEO bonuses when you are registered. So if you are not registered and you happen to find this replay somewhere, go to redeemhertime.com/declutter. And I will send you an email with these links as well. But one, you get the CEO Foundations guide, which is going to help walk you through three foundations. Three key decisions that you need to stop and make before you do anything else in your business. Because otherwise, you are going to waste a lot of time and energy and resources trying to do a lot of things and not really getting very far. So make sure that you have downloaded that guide. And not, the first question, why me, relates perfectly to what we talked about today. So why are you, right, that called to serve in this way? What is your expertise that God has called you to? So make sure you take advantage of that. That's a resource usually only for my clients inside my program. The other thing, as a participant in this workshop, you get a find the time audit. Some of you have already grabbed spots. I have a limited number of spots, but here's what we do. We're going to audit where your time is going. Okay. We're going to look at what things are getting your time so that way we can see where it's really going. Who here feels like I have no time? I get to the end of the day and I'm like, what did I do all day? Right? Or you could list off a few things, but you're like, gosh, where did the time go? Right? So we're gonna look at where it's really going, where you need and want it to go, right? And then how to start finding the time for what truly matters so that that way you can move in the direction you want to go instead of feeling like you're spinning your wheels. So those links are either in the email you received or I will also put them in the community so that way you can go ahead and schedule yours as well. And it's not too late to invite someone to join us because they can listen to the replay from today and join us tomorrow. So if you're thinking of someone who might benefit from what we're talking about, you can send them the redeemhertime.com/declutter link and I will make sure to send out everything with them.
Hey, before you go, I pray this episode blessed you, challenged you, and moved you to take action. So, what was the one thing God showed you today? I'd love to hear. So, would you take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts? It makes my heart smile, and that way I know you're liking the show. And it helps other busy Christian women just like you find real-life answers too. Speaking of which, grab the link and share this with someone you know that's been praying for a breakthrough. And don't forget to come join the after party inside the Redeem Her Time community. We're not just about knowing, we're about doing together. Head on over to redeemhertime.com to join the community, leave a question to be featured on the podcast, schedule a free 15-minute strategy session, or all the above. Of course, I'll drop the link in the show notes because I know you're a busy girl. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15 through 16. I'll see you in a few days, friend. God bless.